From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, fly me to the moon, and then let's just go on to Mars. First, though, in Houston today, former Enron finance chief Andrew Fastow and his wife Lee are expected to plead guilty to multiple charges in the Enron scandal. And in more bad news for corporate America, the investigation of the mutual fund industry by the Securities and Exchange Commission appears to be broadening into something that looks like a payola scheme. According to the SEC, some brokers apparently steered their clients toward certain mutual funds in exchange for business from the mutual fund companies, and they did not fully disclose what they were up to. Dan Gross is here. He's the Moneybox columnist for Slate. Hi, Dan. First, Enron, what does this guilty plea from the Fastows mean for the government's investigation of the other primary figures in this scandal? And I'm thinking of the former chief executive, Jeffrey Skilling, and the former chairman, Ken Lay.
First, it represents a capturing of one of the biggest fish of the investigation. Fastow was right at the center and was the instigator of many of the shenanigans that helped bring Enron down. So it's a feather in their cap for that reason. But secondly, he is expected to provide information about others. Fastow, as the chief financial officer, was very close to the top, so the people he would be expected to provide information are those senior to him, such as Jeffrey Skilling, the former CEO, and perhaps Kenneth Lay. But the most immediate result might be a potential criminal complaint against Richard Causey, who was the chief accounting officer. Not quite as high in the corporate hierarchy as Fastow, but also another large and significant player.
So does this mean that the Fastows are going to get their plea agreement that's been in discussion for the last week or so?
There have been a lot of twists and turns, largely centering on the fact that they want to seem to arrange it so that both the Fastows are not in jail at the same time, so one of them will be able to be with the kids. Barring another last-minute collapse, it seems as if they are going to enter their pleas today or in the very near future.
Okay, on to mutual funds and these brokerages that offer mutual funds to their clients. What exactly is the nature of the SEC investigation here?
It might be useful to think of it like a convenience store. The brokerage firm is the convenience store, and you walk in and there are literally hundreds of different kinds of sodas, juices, etc. Those are the mutual funds.
Okay.
The manufacturers of the sodas, i.e. the mutual fund companies, in effect pay the brokers for shelf space. In other words, they want good placement of their product. They want the salespeople at the stores to pitch those products. And that's what's alleged here. The difference is that with mutual funds, you are required to disclose such payments, and the broker has a duty to his customer not simply to sell them stuff, but to direct them to the funds that are the best performing, not to the ones that will end up lining their pockets the most.
Indeed, you have a kind of a client relationship in most cases with a broker, don't you? That is, you're paying your broker for advice on what to buy, and he's not supposed to be getting money from someone else to say, buy this.
Right. The broker has a fiduciary and legal responsibility to the customer to provide them with the most sound and most advantageous financial advice. Now, these sorts of payments were kind of open secrets in the business. The issues are twofold. One is disclosure. In other words, were the brokers adequately disclosing to their clients the fact that they were getting paid to, in effect, recommend mutual fund A over mutual fund B? And were the mutual funds themselves disclosing to investors that they were, in effect, paying brokers to push their products?
A last question here, Dan. I've been following this mutual fund story somewhat. It seemed a little rarefied. I realized there were maybe big, huge firms making a little bit of money on after-hours deals or something, but it didn't seem to affect normal people who invest in mutual funds. But what you're talking about here, this does apply to millions and millions of Americans who invest in mutual funds, wouldn't it?
Yes, and it does so in the following way. The mutual fund companies wouldn't simply write a check to, say, Morgan Stanley and say, okay, here's how much we're paying you to help push our funds. They would channel payments to, say, Morgan Stanley by having the mutual funds conduct trades buying and selling stocks through Morgan Stanley, and paying higher commissions than other people would pay. That's the way that they would channel these payments to the brokerage firm. And those higher commissions came directly out of the performance of the fund. The fund's shareholders, not the management company that was ultimately benefiting from all this, the fund's shareholders were in effect making these payments by paying higher commissions and thus getting less return on their investments.
Dan Gross writes the Moneybox column for Slate. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Alex.
And we'll just note that the SEC investigation continues. They've not named formally these mutual funds, but they say they will.